Hey, who traveled the furthest to get here? How y'all doing? Okay, well, let's get started since we're already 13 minutes past. Good afternoon. I'm Eric. We'll be talking about getting friendly with XHTML today, which basically the deal here is social networking, which is hot right now, as many of you may have noticed. You've got all these various sites, Friendster, Tribe, Orkut, Rise, LinkedIn, Technorati, blah, 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 all enabling people to create social networks and link their social networks and talk to other people in their social networks and find new social networks and all this stuff. A lot of them track purely mechanical links. So LinkedIn is a good example, and Technorati are both good examples of this. With LinkedIn tracks effectively mechanical links, and when I say mechanical, I don't mean with a machine. I mean the fact that there is simply a link between me and Paul, because Paul and I used to work together. So there's a professional link there. It doesn't say anything about what I think of Paul or what Paul thinks of me, simply that we worked together at one point. Technorati is another one. That tracks the purely mechanical links between weblogs. If there's a Technorati entry for MireWeb, it means somebody on another site is pointing to my personal site, MireWeb. Others, like Friendster, track very binary relationships. A link in Friendster means someone is my friend. And if there's no link, then I guess someone isn't my friend. And that's it. And, of course, everyone you know is either your friend or not, right? I mean, there's no in-betweens. So none of these really capture human relationships very well. There's no way there's no way in Friendster, unless you want to start hacking on some of the common areas, to say, okay, this person that I've listed, I met a few times, but I don't really know them. As opposed to this other person, you know, like the next person in the list has been my best friend since we were both five and, you know, so I had a lemonade stand. So while social networking may be hot, it's not very nuanced at the moment. But you also have weblogs, blogs, and blog rolls, which are pretty much at this point the fastest growing part of the web. I've been limited. Just a second. There we go. Much better. I like to move around. Okay. So, and for those of you who are in the back and missed it, the reason I'm holding this apparently completely non-functional microphone is that they're using it to record the presentation. So, the mic. Okay, so the speaker's dead. So I look like an idiot, but there's a reason for it. And that's what I try to say every time I look like an idiot. No, there's a reason. Anyway, so weblogs. Fastest growing part of the web at this point. And you're starting to see this is a real scan. I didn't mock this up in Photoshop. At South by Southwest this year, there was a guy handing out these blank "Hello, my URL is" name tags, and everyone was wearing them. You know, "Hello, my URL is MireWeb.com." "Hello, my URL is MinJungKim.com." "Hello, my URL is," you know, etc. So people are already linking to each other between weblogs. Technorati, as I said before, actually tracks that kind of thing, where it shows that person X has linked to either Person Y's website or a post on Person Y's website or some part of their website. So really the logical next step, it seemed to some of us, was to add relationship information to those links. The mechanical links are there. The links between one weblog and another are already there. All we really need to do is attach some information to those links expressing if there is any personal relationship between those two people, what that is. So you come up with the XHTML Friends Network, or XFN. All this requires is to add a rel attribute to a blog role link. Blog roles are really the domain that XFN focuses on. So if I had a link in my blog role, everyone know what blog roles are? Anyone not know what a blog role is? It's okay, because I didn't until a little. Okay, a blog role, when you have a weblog, an online journal, oftentimes there will be a list on either this side or this side listing all the people that you read. So, you know, every other person on the web has Dave Weiner's scripting news in their blog role because they all go read Dave Weiner. I think the number one most blog-rolled link is slash dot. but usually they're links to actual people. So Jeffrey Zeldman, Daily Report shows up in a whole lot of them. Jonathan Abrams of Friendster, oddly enough, also shows up in a lot. But anyway, so that's a blog role. So where I might have a link to Adam, whoever Adam is, if Adam is my friend, I could actually add a rel attribute that says rel equals friend. Okay? And that's a way of... Excuse me just a second. That's a way for me to express the actual human relationship between this mechanical, behind this mechanical link, excuse me. So if the next person in the list is Betty, and Betty is just some Silicon Valley reporter that I really like, but I've never met, you know, I've never had any contact with, I just wouldn't have any rel attribute at all. Now here's the interesting thing. This is valid XHTML, HTML. The rel attribute already exists, is already valid for hyperlinks. And you can define your own profiles for it. So if you have a document with these rel attributes and you send it to the W3C for validation, it will validate. Assuming you've put the pieces together correctly, some of which I'm going to talk about here. Have I lost anyone yet? Okay, I'll try harder. I'm sorry, what? I heard something. Well, unfortunately, we don't have time to talk about validating XHTML. We'll talk about it later. Anyway, here's the thing about XFN. It's really easy. You can type it in by hand if you want to, and in fact, that's how I do it. When I create a link to somebody, if it's somebody that I know, I'll just, since I write all of my HTML by hand, I just write the rel values. It does, as I say, works with any XHTML document. And there's a very simple set of values, which I'd show you, but we don't have internet access. I believe there are 11 values. Friend, acquaintance, met, coworker, colleague. I'm going to forget some of the personal ones, but I remember there's co-resident, date, sweetheart, spouse, crush, and there's a couple more that I'm forgetting. But anyway, those... someone down here asked arch nemesis, and that's actually an interesting question. No, there are no negative relationship values in XFN. And in the design, in the sort of the, one of the background documents, it explains why the relationships are either neutral or positive. That was a deliberate design decision, a sort of a social engineering design decision, actually. But anyway, there's an XFN creator wizard UI. I started throwing buzzwords for the hell of it. At this URL where you can type in a URL and somebody's URL and somebody's name, and then just with a simple HTML form, you know, pick, okay, this person is a friend and I met them and, you know, they're a coworker, and it'll show you the exact markup that you need. There's also, what I refer to as an open source XFN annotator. This piece of software, you supply it a URL of let's say your homepage, which has a ton of links on it, and what it returns is a list of all of those links. It turns out to be, if you have a lot of links, it turns out to be a long page, but every one of those links is shown with this UI, this markup UI for each of those links, and then after you go through it and you hit submit, it returns to you your page, but with the rel attributes inserted into the markup. And that's the only change it's made to your page, so that you can quickly, without having to go in and edit your markup by hand, you can quickly annotate your links to people you know, people that you want to express some kind of friendship or other human relationship information. So I want to do a little bit of background on XFN. Was released in December of 2003, about the middle of December. The work of a small group of people. I was one of them. The other two, Matthew Mullenweg, photomat.net, and Tantek Celik, tantek.com, who some of you may have come across his name in conjunction with Internet Explorer 5 for Macintosh. He wrote most of the rendering engine. Or, if you're really old school, his name appears in the About dialogue for OpenDoc. Who remembers OpenDoc? Okay, you can see the old school Mac hackers. All right. We had a few more people preview it. Everything's under Creative Commons. I think it's just a share alike, pretty much, if I remember correctly. Let me see if this actually points to the license or no, that just points to Creative Commons. I can look it up later, but it's a very open Creative Commons license for everything on the everything that's XFN related. And this is what we discovered. We put it out there openly, as an open thing. It was like, here it is, here's what it does. And in 3 months, we already had several hundred people using it, with representing a few thousand nodes. There are tools already, including WordPress, which is a piece of blogging software that support it. NVU, which is a Linux-based web editor. It bills itself as the complete Linux web editor. Take that for whatever it's worth. There's a movable type template. There's a template for Blossom. Also, blo.gs and blogrolling.com support this. So there's a whole site that's supporting blogrolling. And they now support XFN, so that through their user interface, to maintain your blogroll, you can use the XFN wizard to say, you know, this guy is my friend and this person I live with and so on and so forth. And there's also other tools. There's some interesting XFN favelets. In fact, you can see one up here in my toolbar that I'm going to click on. It's going to tell me that there are no XFN links detected, but this is just a piece of JavaScript that runs out of the bookmark bar that if it finds any XFN annotated links in the page, it will pop open a new window and list them all and show you what the value. It'll say, okay, this is the link, and here are the values that are on that link. And there's already a search engine called Rubhub. No idea where you got that name. That somebody completely unassociated with the rest of us, somebody I'd never heard of before, just put together effectively a friendorati, where he has a search engine crawler that looks for XFN annotated links and just follows them from site to site and puts together people's social cosmos, for lack of a better term. So, and actually he did something, he took it a bit further. He did what you might consider a very basic thing to do, which is he created a top 10 list of people with the largest social networks, which was the people with the most number of XFN annotated links either coming in or going out. But then he created, and there's one of the values I forgot, there's a value of muse. And he used that to create a top 10 most inspiring. So he looked for the top 10 sites that had the top 10 number of incoming links that were marked muse. So somewhat predictably for the web design sphere, Jeffrey Zeldman is at the top of both lists, or was the last time I checked. Dave Shea, the creator of the CSS Zen Garden, which I'm going to talk about some in my other presentation later on today, is also up there. And there was somebody who just entered recently, and I'm trying to remember who it was. I think it might have been Dan Cederholm. Anyway, doesn't really matter. The point is, in 3 months, all this happened. None of it was coordinated. It was sort of the classic open source community development model, where somebody said, hey, we think this is cool. What do the rest of you think? And, you know, various disconnected people said, yeah, that is cool. Let's create some tools to do stuff that we want to do. Kind of a lazy web kind of thing. So here's where it's going next, or at least where it looks like it's going next. Some very common requests for values. Outside of parent and child, we didn't have any familial information in XFN 1, because one of the overriding goals of XFN 1 was to keep it as absolutely dead simple as possible. And if we had situations where we weren't sure that a value would be useful right away, we dropped it, which is where actually rel equals me came in, because we said, you know, our first reaction was, why would you ever point to yourself? And then there was sort of the counter argument of, well, not everyone has only one site. Some people have multiple sites, and they'd like to point to the various sites that represent them. We kind of went back and forth on it, and then at the end it was like, you know what, we don't really have a consensus here. It's gone from 1.0. We'll revisit it later. And a lot of people, in looking at XFN and sending us feedback at the feedback address, said, where's rel equals me? And we were like, well, I guess people want it. So next version. Rel equals contact. Apparently friend and acquaintance weren't enough. And we did say right up front, okay, you know, we can't hope to capture the full range of human relationships here, but it's a first stab. And a lot of people said, well, I'd like something between not knowing somebody and acquaintance, and contact is the one that's come up. And then there's also rel equals relative, so that if your grandmother is blogging, then you can point to her blog and say, this is a relative. Hey, you know, there's some hip grandmas out there. So anyway, for anyone who's intrigued by this, you can join the sort of the feedback loop. There's a simple, this is like a four-step page on how to join XFN, which lists all of the values and what they mean and gives you very simple, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, okay, here, you're done. And there's also a feedback mechanism. I didn't come here just to talk about XFN, though, because what this represents really is semantic evolution, in a way, in a very, very limited way. And this will help illustrate the point. I'm going to approach it from the practical side. Technorati, which I've mentioned a few times and have just now realized that maybe not everyone knows what Technorati is. Sorry. Technorati is basically a search engine that looks for, as I said, links between weblogs. But the point of it, it's a play on Digirati, which was a play on, I've forgotten where that came from. But the idea is to find out who are the most popular people in the blogosphere, who have the most popular weblogs. And as I said before, not surprisingly, Dave Weiner is like in the top 10, and Slashdot is for some reason counted as a weblog, although I wouldn't personally think of it as a weblog. It's still counted as one. It's number one continually. I don't think it ever moves from the number one spot. But Dave Weiner, Doc Searles, you know, these people, Dan Gilmore, these people who have been doing online personal publishing for a really long time and have gained basically cults of personality in a lot of cases, are somewhat predictably in the top 10. Joy Ito is another one who's in the top 10. And this has actually led to some interesting observations about power laws and sort of snowball effects, where once you start to rise in a medium like the blogosphere, you basically rise to the top and you just accumulate more and more and more and more people following you, and then like you these nodes start to form where everyone goes. But anyway, so Technorati tracks the links between weblogs, and it does so in a sort of a present tense. Its link information will expire as it ages. So if someone links to Meyerweb, if one of you goes home tonight and decides to write on your weblog, hey, I saw Eric Meyer, and you link over to Meyerweb.com, that'll show up in Technorati, but after, let's say, 3 months of that page not being updated, that's going to fall out of the Technorati database because it's not current, they don't care. But what the guys at Technorati, including Kevin Marks, were interested in is going beyond simple links, because just because everyone links to Dave Weiner doesn't mean that everyone thinks that what he's saying is good. Like, Mark Pilgrim, diveintomark.org, links to Dave Weiner a lot. It's almost never in a positive way. Mark really doesn't like Dave, for whatever reason. And then they were interested at Technorati in, you know, not only seeing how many people are linking to, you know, website X, but how many people are linking to website X, and what's the breakdown of people who like that person versus people who don't like that person, or people who like an idea that was expressed in a post versus people who think that it was the dumbest thing they've ever seen. We saw some of that when we announced XFN. In fact, we had a lot of people link to it and say, hey, this is really cool. And we had some people link to it and said, what the hell are these guys smoking and why can we not have them killed? Whatever. Most of them were sociologists, interestingly enough. They're like, they're trying to redo taxonomy and they're stupid. And then some other sociologists came in and were like, no, it's actually not that bad. And we're just like, you know what, whatever, guys. But anyway, the guys at Technorati basically looked at this and they said, hey, we could do the same thing. We could create vote for and vote against as rel attributes. So instead now of expressing human relationships in that rel attribute, we can express opinion relationships, in effect. So someone could point to XFN and say, vote for, just to say, you know, basically give it a mod up in slash dot terms, you know, give it a thumbs up. Or, you know, one of the sociologists could link to it and say, vote against, because they think it's a really bad idea. There's also a vote abstain, which I believe exists mostly for the purpose of, I've seen it, and I'm aware that I can vote using rel, but I don't have an opinion, which is slightly different than not having a rel at all, not having any vote link. This is also a work in progress at the moment. They haven't really released it officially. But it's a different piece of semantic information that's getting attached to hyperlinks, mechanical links between resources, building on what HTML already makes possible. XFN was basically the first to do this, which still kind of shocks me, because it basically came together in 2003. Actually, at South by Southwest 2003, John Halcyon Stinn. Anyone familiar with John? If you've ever met him, you'd remember him instantly. His hair is the most amazing shade of pink ever. But he's a great guy. But apparently, during a weblogging panel that I was not actually part of. Oh, hey, anyone want to see pictures of my daughter? Sorry. Screensaver kicked in. You can look at him later if you really want to see him. Anyway, so during a panel on weblogging, I guess the question was asked, what would you guys like to see happen in the blogosphere that's not happening now? And John Stinn said, I'd like there to be a way for me to know who has met whom physically, who has actually been in person, you know, in the presence of somebody and said, hey, how you doing? As opposed to all these people that we meet online but never actually meet because they live in Australia or New Zealand or whatever. And, you know, maybe we see them at conferences, but more often not. Anyway, that was what he wanted to do. I wasn't at the panel, but Tontek and Matt were. And they were like, yeah, that would be pretty cool. And when they thought about it, they said they realized that some people in their blog roles were putting little asterisks just next to the people they'd actually met in person or people who were their friends. People were already doing this, just sort of in an ad hoc way as it occurred to them. There was one site where the woman in charge of it actually had five different characters that she was using, asterisk, ampersand, and there were three others, and they referred to whether or not she had met someone, whether or not they were her friend, whether or not she had kissed them, whether or not she had ever dated them, and whether or not she'd ever worked with them. And some people had all five, so whatever. They weren't necessarily things that it's not necessarily the case that she accumulated all the symbols at the same point in time. She might have worked with them and then not worked with them and then dated them after working, you know, who knows. But anyway, so people were already doing this kind of thing. And Tontek and Matt sat down and talked about it, and then I wandered into the conversation. And we all started talking about it together, and I think it was Tontek who said, you know, we could just use the rel attribute. Rel means relationship. That's what we're trying to express. And when we looked at HTML, we realized, hey, this can happen. This works. Oh, and so I jumped a little bit ahead of myself. Sorry. There was a question of why vote. I already touched on the first thing. That, you know, just because everyone links to a post that I make, for example, doesn't mean they all think it's a great idea or that they even like what I said. You know, I could go home tonight and, you know, write a post that said, you know what, Perl sucks. And I could get a ton of links, but I can guarantee you that it wouldn't be a lot of thumbs up for that one. So Technorati will be able to assess sort of a community mood. Here's the interesting part, though. Suppose you took the voting information and you cross-indexed it with the XFN information. and you create a search engine where I could say, show me the top 10 URLs that were voted for by people who are my friends. You just put those two pieces of information together, and you already start to get effectively rudimentary trust networks. You can get people, you know, or you could say, show me the top 10 URLs of things that were voted for by people who are friends of Dan Gilmore, people who Dan Gilmore has said are his friends. Show me the top 10 things that they're all pointing to and saying that they like. Or show me the top 10 things that they're all pointing to and saying that they hate, if that's the way you want to search. So this isn't a trust network in the sense of it's going to fight spam, but it's a trust network in the sense of being able to take information that authors are making available about both about who they know, who they consider to be their friends, and what they like and don't like, and start to generate some fairly sophisticated search results just with those two little pieces of information. And as I say, these work on the same basic principle. XMDP, we called it because we needed something. And I think it's the XHTML metadata profiles. Originally, it was XHTML metadata profiles, or XMP. And then we realized that Adobe has already trademarked a technology called XMP. So we're like, oh, that acronym's out. Let's split apart metadata. Okay, fine. So this just defines a format for creating a profile like XFN or vote links. The profile format itself, dirt simple XHTML. It's basically a definition list. So in the XFN profile, there's a DT element, a definition term that says met. And the DD, the definition of that is you have physically met someone. That's it. Those terms and the definitions, of course, themselves are not machine readable, in the sense that you can't have a machine read them and understand what that means. But they are machine readable in the sense that a machine can come in, grab that profile, get the list of values that are available, and also bring along with them the text of the definition, so that when a human goes and looks at what the machine has discovered, he can say, okay, acquaintance. I see acquaintance and friend. How are those different? And then they read the actual text definition and say, oh, okay, I understand. All you have to do is link in your profile, and you're ready to go. And this is how it works. The head element in HTML has a profile attribute, has for a long time. It's just nobody ever used it. So to use XFN 1.0, you would say head profile equals http://gmpg.org/xfn/1. That's the URL of the XFN 1.0 profile. Yes? To do this. Not necessarily for the rel attribute on links, but in order to be able to bring in more information than HTML4 itself allows. So maybe somebody extended the href attribute. They created a profile that allowed the href attribute to contain multiple URLs that are semicolon separated. I'm making this up off the top of my head. So that then, since HTML itself doesn't allow that, you might have you could point to a profile that says, hey, this is what this does. This is what these semicolon separated. No, can you ask me that at the end? Again? Because that's actually an excellent question, but it's going to take me down a tangent. But ask me again at the end about namespace collisions, if I don't get to it between now and then. If I think of a place to put it in, I'll bring it up. Anyway, you can have multiple profiles. They just have to be space separated. They don't even have to be line break separated. I just did that because otherwise, you know, the profile will be off the side of the screen here. But you could just space separated. You could have 200 profiles, if 200 profiles existed, and you felt like doing that. So if you just want to use XFN, you have in your head element profile equals da-da-da-da, and then any link you want to add rel information to that uses the XFN values, you do that. And as I say, this will validate just fine using any HTML validator I've seen. And then if you want to have both XFN and VoteLinks information, you put the two in, and you're off to the races. That's really all it takes. And it, even when I describe it, it sounds like I'm blowing smoke out some orifice other than my mouth. But this is, it really works like this. And when you actually dig into the HTML4 specification and look at the definition of the profile attribute, it basically says this exists to let you extend HTML. And, you know, they use more words than that because it's the W3C, but that's basically what it says. So, you know, here you go. So this is why I was saying, you know, this is basically ground up semantics. Tim Berners-Lee in Weaving the Web said this exactly. The trick, and then we put in some ellipsis because he had more stuff in there, but the trick is to make sure that each limited mechanical part of the web, each application is within itself composed of simple parts that will never get too powerful. Well, XFN's a pretty good example of that. 11 words to describe various human relationships. Now, it may go to more words than that, but, you know, it's, compare it to FOF, friend of a friend, which is an RDF-based XML language that's used to describe friends of friends. It's mind-bogglingly complex, because RDF just is. On the other hand, something like XFN, and friend of a friend information, and I'm not an expert, so I don't want to get too deeply into it, FOF lets you describe a ton of stuff about yourself, about your friends. You know, you can provide height, weight, you know, address, you know, what their interests are, what your interests are, all this kind of stuff. It's way more complex than XFN. So in a sense, it has to be more complicated, even syntactically. But something like XFN, which is very simple, only concentrates on a very small problem and provides a very simple solution to that, which we feel is really in keeping with what Tim Berners-Lee was talking about in Weaving the Web, you know. And as I was mentioning before, combining those little pieces gets you very rich information sets. Combining XFN and VoteLink information can get you much more interesting search results than either one of them could individually. So this is effectively, this is sort of the evolutionary approach to a semantic web as opposed to the intelligent design approach to the web. The intelligent design approach is where you impose semantic order from the top down, effectively, which is what RDF and OWL and all those FOF and all those kinds of technologies are really attempting to do. OWL, for those who don't know, OWL stands for Web Ontological Language. I know that's out of order. Apparently they don't. I don't know. But it's an ontological language because RDF, which is the resource description framework, I believe, was meant to provide semantic information for resources. And then they realized that if they were going to provide semantic information for resources in sort of a global, like all-encompassing way, then they really needed an ontological language on which that RDF could be based. So they're writing this huge ontological language that I assume eventually is going to have to be defined by something else. I mean, it's been dragging on for years, which is one way to create a system. The other way to create a system is to start creating little tiny pieces of that solve just little tiny segments of the overall problem and then see how they combine, which is a much more evolutionary approach, which is what we're doing. We're starting to inject semantics from the ground up according to what interests people. It was clear that people were already interested in linking to each other and expressing their relationships to each other. And, you know, some of them were doing it by adding little asterisks to say who they'd actually met in person. Or, you know, whatever. Or they were bold-facing people who were their friends. You know, whatever the approach was, they were clearly already wanting to do it. So there was a problem there that needed a solution, and this is a solution. It might not be the best solution, but at least it is a solution, and it's one that adds a lot more as a lot more richness than we had before, because because it provides information that is machine readable. It's human understandable, but machine readable. Because if you look at a rel link to somebody else's website and it says rel equals friend met sweetheart, you already know a lot more about the relationship between the person whose website you're on and the person whose website they're pointing to than you did before. And then if you go to that second person's website and they have the same values in return, then you can say, aw, they're friends and sweethearts. That's really nice. As opposed to if you go to the other second person's website and it says rel equals acquaintance, and you're like, oh boy, something's going on there. I think the first guy needs a crush value. Which often leads, you know, people to say, but doesn't that mean that we're going to be exposing these differences in human relationships? To which our answer was, yeah. That's the state of human relationships. You know, if you don't want people to know what your relationships are, don't express them in a machine-readable way. Because the spider will find it eventually. Anyway, so this is how anyone in this room, or anyone at all really, could spread a little more semantic meaning to the web. If there's a problem that you know needs to be solved, that people are interested in having solved, you create a simple solution, create the profile, publish it openly, and see what happens. In our case, quite a lot happened. I don't know what's going to happen with vote links because it's not really done yet. The guys at Technorati are still sort of working on it, but if they ever finish it and then they publish it, it'll be very interesting to see what happens. Now, obviously, they have an advantage because the guys who run Technorati, so they can immediately start harvesting for vote links. And since a lot of people go to Technorati, that will probably catch on very quickly. But the XFN didn't really have that advantage. XFN, if it had any advantage, had the advantage of being announced simultaneously on three weblogs that a fair number of people happened to read. But that in itself would not have been enough if it was not a solution to a problem that people wanted to have solved. So that pretty much wraps up the canned portion. And so, oh good, I managed to get down to 10 minutes before the hour, so there should be time for questions and answers. And you had a question that I promised I would answer. And it was, have we submitted this to the W3C, right? So to avoid namespace collisions? The answer is no. And as part of the evolutionary nature, basically, well, one way you can avoid namespace collisions is, let's say that someone else comes along with, you know, an XHTML relationship network. They decide that the friends network isn't enough. They want arch enemy and they want, you know, annoys me or whatever, you know, whatever values. They want to have both positive and negative relationships. So they come along with an XRL or XRN, excuse me. Which profile you link to determines what your values mean. So if they change some of the value, if they use some of the same values like friend, acquaintance, met, but they change what those mean, the profile that the person points to is going to determine whether or not they're using XFN or XRN. Right, but that's the same as make sure you don't put two doc types on your HTML document. I mean, you know, two different doc types on your HTML document. It's that becomes much more author-centric. The author has to make sure that they're doing it right. And if they don't, then, you know, something will happen. One of our other guiding principles, besides keep it as dead simple as possible, was keep it as small and focused as possible. Which turning things over to the W3C, inevitably you lose all sense of smallness and focus. I've been involved with the CSS working group for many years. I've worked with other working groups, and things happen slowly there. They do happen with a lot of deliberation and a lot of review, and for the kind of problem we were solving, that didn't really seem warranted. If we were trying to come up with a descriptive language to describe all the various kinds of stuff you could buy at Amazon, that might have lent itself more to a sort of a large working group sort of situation. But for this, I mean, the three of us were human. We've had relationships. We figured, you know, we could take a swing at it and not be done, but get it started. And the same thing with vote links. I mean, you know, vote for, vote against, vote abstain. You know, I'm not part of that, but you don't really need a working group to figure that out. You know, now there, as you know, there is a possibility eventually of namespace collision. But the way I figure it is, let's say that a relationship language comes out with a whole range of positive and negative relationship values. If that becomes far more popular than XFN, then it's clear that XFN was not the better solution of the two. And it really, at that point, deserves to wither and die. Whereas, on the other hand, if that comes out and it doesn't really go anywhere, but XFN continues to grow, then the reverse is true. And I'm, you know, I think that that's, if we're going to have semantic information attached to the web in any reasonable time frame, I think this is the only way we're going to do it. We're going to have to grow it from the ground up. Just in little pieces. And watch as people put these things together, because, you know, with vote links and XFN, there aren't that many ways to combine it. But if you have 6 or 7 different little semantic information attachment pieces, then the way people start to combine that, you know, I probably don't even have the imagination to come up with that if I spent an hour thinking about, A, what the languages could be, and B, how they could be combined. You know, so I'd really like to see that kind of thing start to happen, so that, you know, people can take vote links and XFN and 2 other things and put them together and manage to come up with a with a search engine that will show you the top 10 URLs that were created by people who are friends of, you know, so-and-so, that they liked, that happened to be within 20 miles of their houses, and are blue. I don't know. I'm just making stuff up, but you get the idea. Yeah. Okay. Right. So the observation is, that if you start publishing this, if you start creating this kind of information or making this kind of information available, there's no limit on who can harvest it and use it for, you know, beneficial or nefarious purposes. And that's absolutely true. It's the same problem that we face with publishing websites at all. And I have a website that I had my email address on for much longer than I should have, because I didn't really think about spam harvesters. And now it's way too late. I do mask my email address now in using my own homegrown method. But really, the only way that I could avoid getting spam to my primary email address is to have never published it publicly. And, you know, once I put it out there, it was available for anyone to harvest. This, you know, I don't think that this sort of information makes that problem any better or worse, personally. I don't see how it could exacerbate it, is the thing. I don't see how it can make it better. I mean, I'm not saying that it will make it better. I just don't see how it can make things really a whole lot worse than they are now, or that they could be now. Well, that's true. Right. Right. Which actually is one of the things that in a sense concerns me about languages like FOF, friend of a friend. Because with FOF, I can publish any information I want about anybody. And once that enters the FOF space, to use a phrase, there's not necessarily an easy way to get it out. So if I publish your home phone number, not that I know it, but if I were to publish your home phone number, there's nothing you can do about that. Because FOF is very distributed. You know, I can provide a lot of information about people that I know. Whereas with things like XFN and vote links and that sort of thing, everyone provides information about themselves. And it's up to them to decide what information they wish to reveal or not. So, you know, if you have this concern, you cannot publish any semantic information and not exacerbate the effect for you personally. Potentially, I mean, I don't know. I don't know where this is going to go. Maybe at some point, it'll be determined that, you know, spammers are using such and so combination of things to harvest this information, so don't use that combination of things, and maybe it's not binary. I suspect it won't be, but, you know, we'll see. And if it all turns out to have, if it does make things worse, then people can just remove all their semantic information and we'll try again, you know. But in the meantime, you know, we'd like to try something. So, I'm sorry, any other questions? We have a few minutes, just a few. Anyone? Should I just start the screensaver pictures of my daughter? Is that what you're doing? No. Anyone? You sure? All right. Well, thank you very much.